Make my day. Make my.
Pump that
still
jam.
Five more minutes left. Place to stay. Get your booty on the dance floor.
Make my day. Mm.
Make your booty on the head.
Make my
authorities are desperately searching for a killer accused of going on a rampage.
The search for a possible serial killer.
An urgent manhunt for a man authorities believe is behind a triple killing spree.
Police here speculating that a possible serial killer may have struck again.
I told her to get out of the car, and that's when she became afraid, and then I shot her.
Welcome to Jesse Wiseman's Crime Corner.
Yeah.
I have three mustaches with me here.
Mm-hmm. Shaved yours.
I don't shave it. I pluck it.
Oh.
I wax it. I relax it.
And I relax it.
I relax it and I max it, obviously. That's why it's so luscious. It's actually full, but it's blonde.
Oh.
So, like, if you came up and, like, felt it, it would feel like one of your guys's.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, from the right angle.
Like
too.
A Sam Elliott. Yeah. It's a Sam Elliott. You just can't even tell.
Yeah. It's just if I turn the right way in the sun, you'll fully see it to the side.
Oh, yeah. The glowing mustache. There it is.
Yep, there it is. Can you imagine? I actually have a goatee, but it's just totally the color of my face.
That'd be so fucking cool.
It would be so fucking cool. Yeah.
You'd fit right in.
Or something. Yeah.
Or it wouldn't be.
It would be something. We are joined again, honored, graced by the presence of
Coop.
Scott Lastro Lopez Cooper.
Yeah, look at him.
Cooper.
I am Coop.
I am Coop.
Yeah, I am Coop.
Yeah.
That's
I
all
don't
I'm
think
to
on
say.
The last episode we did a like your impersonation of Coop.
It was pretty
did
good.
We?
I think it was before the show. Or maybe it was during.
It
was right before
Coop.
The show about me being Coop.
Yeah.
I am Coop.
I'm Coop.
Coop is I.
I have a good deep voice.
I've got a deep voice. I'm really smart.
I really like to go paddleboarding.
And I will let you know. No, just kidding.
Joel hates paddleboarding. I don't know why he doesn't like outside.
I love paddleboarding.
Are you
the
and
nature.
Coop, are you and Coop paddle bros?
We're paddle buddies, actually.
Oh, paddle buddies.
Yeah.
Paddle gaze is the proper
term
for that.
Paddle boys. Interesting you say that. That's a great segue into our case today. Listen.
Is this about without a paddle? Is that what this is about?
Yeah.
Yes!
It's about the time I the only movie that I've walked out on, which is Without a Paddle.
Is it really?
With Dax Shepard, Seth Green.
Never saw it.
It's one of my faves.
No, it's not.
I swear.
No way. I haven't even heard of this.
I fucking love Without a Paddle so much.
Yeah. Wasn't there a second one? Did you like one or two?
I didn't see the second one.
Yeah. Okay.
It was a whole different cast, I think.
Well, are you a fan? I don't know. I think you're
it's
just
like
a
Harry
Dax.
Potter. You can't just watch the first one.
No, God.
And call yourself a fan.
God. But speaking of homosexual paddleboarders, that's perfect segue into our case today.
Ah.
We're doing, I mean, in my world, a very well-known case. Joel isn't going to know one bit of it,
nope.
Right?
Joel knows nothing about anything.
No. Yeah. So it's a really fun, it's becoming the premise of the show, which is like, Joel knows nothing.
Did he do it?
Yeah. We tell him, and then he still kind of doesn't know.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's what we love about him.
It's because I don't really pay attention while I'm here.
He's a precious, sweet little boy.
Yeah.
And we love him for it.
Who knows nothing about anything.
Sweet boy.
I know nothing at all.
But that's how you want, you know.
I actually don't know anything about true crime, though, and murders.
Do you know anything about this case?
No. I don't even know what the case is.
No. We like to keep him in the dark, although it's not hard, because he's already, you know what I mean? Doesn't know about it. But actually, maybe, I mean,
it's
you had never heard of it. either.
Not until I got a text yesterday about it.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. No, I kind of just chose
it. It's Joel's fault, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I told
him. You probably told him a month ago.
Yeah. I told him a month ago. Text Scott the case that we're doing.
Yeah.
And then he waited to the last minute. Yeah. Not me waiting. Obviously, I wrote this a month ago because it's chicken scratch. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've got a chicken scratch episode today because we're missing.
My favorite episodes are the chicken scratch ones.
Yeah, because I can't read it.
You can't read
and
your own
I just
writing.
Wrote it. Yeah.
Full disclosure, my knowledge of this case came from getting home from work at 3 a.m, getting hammered, and just kind of watching it.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really there.
The only thing I wanted you to do is like listen to this dude talk.
Oh yeah.
Because it's key, right? It's like essentially the whole case.
So yeah. It involves a dude. Okay, now I'm starting to figure this out.
Some say more than one dude.
Who did it, do you think?
The guy? It's about multiple dudes?
No. Well, yes.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, there's a couple
there
dudes.
There are other dudes.
Hey.
This is a Michael Peterson, Michael and Kathleen Peterson case. This case is very well known because of the documentary The Staircase, which I don't know if you guys saw Making a Murderer. Remember this one?
Yeah. Stephen Avery.
Right. This is where most people
innocent
got into, if you guys remember that Christmas break when it was on.
Yeah.
It was like one of the first times that we had like gone on a journey and a documentary made us believe something that wasn't true, right?
Exactly.
So now we know Stephen Avery is a psycho and he's 100% guilty. While you're watching that, you go, oh my, railroaded, right?
Yeah, no
Can
idea.
You believe it? So it kind of showed people the power of a good documentary for your innocence.
Yeah.
One-sided, leaving out things. Now, when that one came out, the true crime buffs were like, oh, dude, you haven't seen The Staircase? It was dubbed in French, made by this like French documentarian a long time ago, and then was on like Amazon for you had to buy each fucking episode, and there was like eight episodes and whatever. So it was like you wanted to see this, you had to really see it, and you had to really be in the world. But it was Making a Murderer before Making a Murderer, right? It just didn't get as much press. This case has everything, Joel. A rich novelist.
Ooh.
A dead wife.
Ooh. Hot.
Which you love.
Is she hot?
No. She was just a classic
wife. Literally
A keeper?
Yes.
The plain.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like a wholesome looking woman.
I love her already.
A natural brown.
She's
going to
die.
Right?
No one dies.
It's a dead wife, gay lovers.
Oh.
Stolen valor.
Oh, I forgot about stolen valor.
Stolen valor.
I
thought
valor.
That would be the thing that you keyed in on the most.
Yeah. Well, I steal valor all the time.
For sure.
I'm on Hinge like, my legs are gone.
Yeah.
That's my Hinge prompt.
Your legs look gone in this shot of you.
Yeah,
right
I got
now.
Blown up in Zimbabwe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was there.
How many tours of Zimbabwe did you do?
I was there in 06, 09, and
013. 013.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah.
And lost my legs in 06. So 09 and 013, I was legless the whole time.
It's still fighting.
Fighting the good fight, some would say.
Wow.
013. Stolen valor and the owl did it theory.
I don't know what that theory is.
Yeah.
The owl did it.
That's a good one. It's a good one. This case is...
I'm so confused right now.
I know. It's a little complex. I'm going to try and make it Joel-friendly, ergo making it audience-friendly. And again, you probably know this case. It's interesting to see it again after, you know, documentary, Making a Murderer, and really look at it and go, oh, shit, dude.
With the three mustaches.
With the
what
three mustaches,
way to learn
and I want
to
see what
immerse
you
yourself
guys,
into this.
What you guys think, right? I just think it'd be fun to take Joel on this journey. right?
Mm-hmm. Which one? I'll just wait. I have so many questions, but I'm going to wait.
Yeah, I did that to intrigue you.
I'm intrigued.
Okay.
Fully in.
Okay, so let's start with the 911 call, right?
Oh, shit. Classic.
Sweet.
Just for fun.
It's for fun.
We love a good 911 call. Okay.
I'm 911, where's your emergency? Cedar Street, please. What's up? My wife's trying to ask, she's still breathing. What kind of
she's accident? Still breathing.
She's still breathing, please.
Is she conscious?
What?
Is she conscious?
No, she's not conscious.
Okay. Wait. How many stairs did you fall down?
What?
How many stairs?
Stairs.
How many stairs? Calm down, sir.
He's very distraught.
Okay, somebody's dispatching the ambulance while I ask you questions.
It's a force field, okay? Please, please.
Sir, somebody else is dispatching the ambulance. Okay, is she awake now? Hello?
Innocent.
Right, and then...
That was a good 911 call.
Right, and that was just the first part. So he hangs up, which like... You know.
Well, was this like a house phone to where like it just he had a cord on it and like it hung itself up? You know, like an old school phone. What year was this?
So this was in 2001.
Oh, yeah. House phone. Maybe those just hang up, you know? Maybe they just do that.
I don't know about
that. No. Then he calls back 6 minutes later and is like, where are you guys? Now she's not breathing.
Right? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll go into the...
Haven't we learned this, though? We've learned from all these shows that...
That what?
If they hang up, like, that's a red flag. Doesn't mean they're guilty, but most people that are innocent don't hang up on the 911, right?
I would imagine so.
Yeah, because you want to stay on the line, and you want to give the ambulance as much information as you can or stay next to the body.
Especially
do CPR, like
what's
whatever.
Her age? Does she have a history of a stroke? Because they don't really know what's going on at this point. Does she have a heart condition, dementia, anything that can help the ambulance crew get information before they arrive to know how to treat this person?
Right.
That's why you stay on the line, is to give them as much info so they come
in prepared. And even if you're hysterical, though, you want to have someone there being like they're almost there or whatever, but this like, hey, come help, please, you know. And then what are you doing? Don't you want to be on the call? Where are they? How far are they? Like, what do I do? Whatever.
Walk me through the steps of CPR or something like that, you know?
Something like that. So let's start. Yeah, so 911 call on December 9th, 2001 at approximately 2:40 a.m. So this was 2:40 in the morning.
Okay.
Partying.
This call came from the Petersons' house in Durham, North Carolina. If you can't tell from the dispatch, the ambulance is on. Calm down, sir. The ambulance is on its way while I'm asking you questions. Hello? So we're already, you know, we're in small town. We're in Durham, North Carolina. We'll dissect the call later, but
North Carolina.
That was Michael. Michael Peterson, and he was calling about his wife, Kathleen Peterson, that he found at the bottom of the stairs. Right?
That happens all the time.
Well, it's just kind of like bitches be clumsy.
Right?
You know?
Imagine this guy bragging about having two floors in his house. He's bragging on the 911 dispatch, like, ew, I got a two floor house. And she fell down. It like, all right, dude, you got money. Yeah. We get it.
Not only does he have two floors, he has 10,000 square feet, but we'll get into that. So, Michael was born near Nashville, Tennessee. He graduated from Duke University, the political science degree. Very smart, very learned.
Intellect.
Then he went to UNC Chapel Hill for law school.
So he had money. That's a fancy place.
Money or just super smart, but either way, Duke.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. UNCW Chapel Hill, where he took some law classes. Mike, after he left UNC Chapel Hill, he took a civilian job for the U.S. Department of Defense and was stationed in Germany. In 1966, that same year, he met and married Patricia Sue, and they had two children, Clayton and Todd. In 68, Peterson was commissioned by the U.S. Marine Corps and served in the Vietnam War.
Oh.
Yeah.
Big old war vet.
Yeah, big old Vietnam War vet. He received an honorable discharge after a car accident left him permanently disabled.
Little just like me in Zimbabwe back in 06.
Oh, yeah?
It wasn't in a car 013. Accident.
013. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, the 06 was when I got my legs, and I was there in 08, then 013.
Right.
It was a rhinoceros.
Oh, just right through up my legs. The butt. Oh, yep. The oh. legs, yeah.
Oh, well, my legs were gone.
Oh, your legs were gone already.
Butt's still there.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
No,
yeah.
The rhino took my legs.
Okay.
I was in a car. It didn't know that rhinos hate mahogany.
Little known facts. Yeah, yeah, little known facts.
I drive this mahogany vehicle helping Zimbabweans.
A wooden vehicle or the color is mahogany?
Yep.
Yes. Yeah, so it was a mahogany. So
it was
yeah.
a wagon pulled by horses.
Oxen, oh, okay, a mahogany
actually,
wagon.
Then.
All right, then. Cool, 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 cool. So Michael and Patricia spent some time in Germany. And they had two kids. They befriended another American couple
Ooh.
That were living there close to them. That couple's name was George and Elizabeth Ratliff.
Ah.
And they had two children, Margaret and Martha.
Joel, what? Nothing?
What, the names?
Ratliff is, isn't that a weird, it's weird.
It's a weird, only
what?
Because...
How's
well,
that weird?
Nathaniel, I've never heard Ratliff before.
Nathaniel Ratliff.
Ratliff.
But it's still weird.
It's kind of weird.
It's weird. Unfortunately, George died.
What?
George fucking died, bro.
So they're all hanging out. They're close.
And George just died.
George was actually on assignment. Military, some
oh,
military
okay, he's
assignment.
In the military too. Okay, okay.
Died.
Got some bad news.
Got some bad news.
George,
George
is
dead, dude.
Fucking rhino.
Sorry. Sorry, Scott. I know you were really attached to George.
I love
you
George
just
Ark,
met
Ark
him
Martin.
Dead.
You know?
So with that, Michael Peterson became kind of like the dude to help her with stuff. They live next door to each other or across the kind of driveway sort of thing from each other. He's helping her out with financial stuff, kind of, you know, taking care of the kids when she needs it.
Because George died.
George is dead, dude.
George Ratlips or whatever his name
Ratlips.
Is.
Yeah. George Ratlips.
That's the Harry Potter guy.
Yeah. So they're really close with this other American couple, right? So you have that so far. They're all hanging out. They're the only kind of Americans there in that little area. Michael Peterson starts helping out with Elizabeth's anything that she needs. One day, though, fucking Elizabeth is found dead.
Whoa.
What the
yeah.
fuck?
I guess apparently it was some like brain hemorrhage. Maybe she was really stressed out, whatever. So now Michael Peterson and Patricia adopt her kids. So now they have their two kids. They have these two, they're really good friends. Both died. Boom, boom.
Todd, Clayton, Martha, and Margaret?
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. All not great names, but listen. That was the times,
white
right?
White people.
Those were the times. White people, boring. It's going to be like a lot of boring names. But so
the fuck?
They end up.
So they both just die like over how long? Like a year? Less than a year?
Yeah, it wasn't that long.
Probably the stress, honestly.
Yeah.
Of losing her husband and trying to raise the two kids. Is
and
she
so
from Germany,
now,
by the way? Do we know
no,
that?
No, they were American.
Yeah, so she's in a foreign country.
Yes.
Husband dies. freaking out.
Freaking out. Has, doesn't know what
dies from
they're going to do.
Yeah, okay.
Right. And she had had some previous kind of conditions with hemophilia and stuff like this. So she wasn't like in the best health, but kind of crazy to have people just find her dead. So Michael and Patricia adopt the Ratliff's children. And Patricia and Michael move back to the U.S. and actually divorce shortly after, but amicable. The boys stay with Patricia, and then Michael has Martha and Margaret. Eventually, the boys end up moving with him.
That's a weird split, isn't it?
The girls with the dad, yeah. And
actually, that is a weird
kind
thing.
Of weird.
But it's also like biological and adopted too. So it's like,
oh, the biological kids were
stayed with
her,
the mom.
Hers, and then,
he took the adopted,
ones were his best friend from Germany. Okay,
right. Because gotcha. That makes, by the way, sense. It was probably his idea to be like, we need to take care of these kids.
Yeah.
Now,
what else
blah,
are we gonna do? We're in a foreign fucking country.
Right.
Yeah.
We're just gonna leave them in like some kind of German
in Nazi Germany back in the
2000s foster care system.
Yeah,
like
right? The Gestapo. Dude.
Yeah. They're gonna put them in some concentration camp or something.
At least that's what Coop would say if he was here. He loves Nazis. You know?
He really
big
does.
Advocate
now,
for
listen.
Him.
Now, listen. He doesn't love them.
Well,
he just respects what they did.
Respect it because he is dead.
Do you know what I mean? No, he just respects like
just
how they
outfits.
Were able to mobilize and get everybody on board. It's impressive, right?
It is.
As Coop would say, not me. Coop would say that.
Yeah, Coop would say that.
Yeah.
If he was still alive.
If Coop was still alive.
He was still alive.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I know.
Poor
him
boy.
And George, right?
Yeah, him and George.
Dead.
The best of us.
Yeah.
In heaven together just talking about Hitler. Good for them.
Good for them, huh? So anyways, so Michael has eventually all four kids with him. I think he had maybe a little bit more money. He was writing at this time, writing novels. He got a pretty big advance for one of his novels. He writes about, it's like, you know, fiction novels about experiences that he had in Vietnam. So it's very...
That's weird. That's a weird
like
thing to
do. Like a historical fiction, kind of.
Yeah.
So like he's able to write about it because he can, it can be, it's very realistic.
Yeah.
But it's not a... totally true story, and you're, you know,
sweet.
I don't know, people like that shit. We can go through his Amazon, his the books that he wrote in a little bit.
That'd be weird to read his books now.
Yeah. So he starts dating a lady named Kathleen Atwater. They move in with Kathleen, and the two, Michael and Kathleen, get married in 1997. Kathleen's daughter, her biological daughter with her previous marriage, became the fifth sibling in their big blended family with adopted and biological and yours and mine and whatever. But by all accounts, they all got along really well. They were... Kathleen's daughter actually went to school with the adopted children and kind of introduced them. And we're saying, like, it's going to be a long sleepover,
yeah.
Right? How sweet. Did you ever, were your parents, are they together?
No.
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 Did they divorce a long time ago, or they were never together?
Divorced in 2010-ish.
Okay.
Yeah.
You were in school then? No.
Yeah, I was in, like freshman year of high school.
Yeah.
Or middle school, freshman year of high school, something like that. 2009, 2010.
Yeah.
I don't know the fucking dates.
Around the same.
Yeah.
Did you ever kind of think, I know anyone from divorced parents is like, what if like my best friends, right? Like mom, you know, if I could like hook them up, then we could fucking just be like bros.
Yeah.
You know
what
that feeling?
Fuck no.
No?
Yeah.
Then you could be like, dude, we
that.
Could be like brothers. We'll like have bunk beds. Well, our parents
yeah,
would be
the
like
fuck? If my dad and Jesse's mom hooked up, Jesse and I would be fucking brother and sister.
Brother and
awesome.
Sister, dude. We could fucking chill
when
all
I was
the time.
Like 12, I wasn't thinking about that. No.
Okay.
I was.
Yeah. You never.
You're looking at me with a blasphemous look right now.
You didn't want a brother? You didn't want your best friend to be your brother, dude?
Yeah, and just be like, wouldn't that be cool? Anyways, that's what happened here.
I never had friends, Joel.
That's what happened here. So the girls were like friends at school, and they were like, let's introduce like your mom and my dad.
That's what happened?
Yes.
And it worked?
Oh,
and then
shit.
So they became sisters?
Yeah, and they got to have one long sleepover.
What the fuck?
Yeah, and they were loving it.
That's kind of cool, I guess. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you missed out.
Yeah, you missed out, dude. Yeah. You should have been fucking hooking your mom up with all your friends' dads.
Yeah, that would have been great.
That would have been super great.
She would have been so much
and just
happier.
Be like, oh, I want to bang my mom. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't want to
be like,
mom.
Oh, you want to bang my does your
not,
dad?
Not his friends.
No, I know. Does your dad maybe want to bang my mom?
I don't think I had actually like friends growing up that had like
cool dads,
divorced parents. Like all my like really good friends still had their parents
now,
together.
Huh?
It's just
now
our
it's
circle
like fucking
of
everybody.
Up families,
yeah.
Like literally, I don't think I'd have a single friend from middle school through high school that had a divorced like parents. Honestly, I think I was the only one.
Wow.
What a nice
so
sheltered life.
So, maybe if that wasn't an opportunity, I'd be like, yo.
Yeah, I think we were just so used to it, right? That they're like, all right, how do we fucking spin this, dude?
I don't have a single friend growing up that wasn't in a divorced family.
Yeah, that we like went to their house and their parents were like together and fucking. All like
never saw that
happy.
Man. Never saw that.
Never
up.
Saw it, dude.
That's wild.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Yeah. No. Everyone I knew are like happy families.
No
shit.
Shit.
Yeah,
okay.
Dude. Well, as far as I would know, with their family dynamic, they were all together and shit. Yeah.
All right.
Crazy.
Crazy.
Lucky for you.
Yeah, we're happy for you, dude.
Yeah, thank you.
That's why you're rebelling. It's why you're rebelling now. Yeah. You're like fuck you. Mom and Dad, I'm growing a mullet.
Listen to emo music.
Yes. I'm so sad.
I'm getting tattoos.
So, Kathleen, so he's a successful writer. Like I said, he got for one of his books, he got like $500,000 advance.
Damn.
And they were going to make one of them into a movie. So he's like
very
doing
cool. Yeah.
Very well. Kathleen was also very accomplished business executive. She was beloved by her friends and was very close with her two sisters, Candace and Leslie. She was a delight, the life of the party, and she had a smile, Joel!
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 No!
You thought it was going to be Patty, huh? Not Patty.
No, it's not, huh?
The first one got away.
Damn, she did?
Yeah, she's alive.
Good for her.
Good for her.
Patty made it.
Patty made it. So she had a smile that would light up a room, obviously.
Fuck.
So that brings us to the call that we just heard.
Now all the fun is over. Now we get to the
lovey-dovey, blending your family, buying, by the way, a mansion in Durham, North Carolina. Best friends becoming sisters, moving into a mansion.
Sisters before misters. Yes.
I bet they said that for sure. Yeah. Make that the clip.
Sisters before misters. Yes. Sisters before misters. Yes.
Sisters before misters. Yes.
You are the only thing I ever think about. Sometimes I wish I had you completely figured out.
10,000 square feet, huge grounds, like a pool that looked like on like an Instagram photo where it's like the gates open up to the pool and it's all like down the
cool.
property's huge.
Mm. It's a paradise.
It's $1.7 million. Now listen, in LA that'll get you a box, right? Durham, North
cool
Carolina
box.
At this time. It's a fucking for
mansion.
Real mansion with property. So they're all living hunky-dory.
Ballin'.
All five kids at the house?
All five kids at the house. Well, at this
How
point...
How do you have a... That's a dope-ass spot
now listen,
if all
when
five
we
kids
get,
are chilling.
When we get to this call, kids are in college.
Oh, yeah.
They're not kids
away,
anymore.
Right? They're not kids anymore.
Gotcha.
They're grown. So it's just you and the missus, right? Right? So that brings us up to the call. At this point, Michael and Kathleen have been married for 4 years. According to Michael, the two were having a glass of wine by the pool.
Yes.
Yes.
As you do.
As you do. But Kathleen had some work to do in the morning, so she went in around 11 p.m., he says. And he stayed out by the pool smoking his pipe, which he's a pipe smoker.
Also, pretty badass.
Pretty badass, but I also think...
This dude's fucking Gandalf.
Now, listen, he has a flair for the dramatic, and... You know, he writes like historical fiction about the Vietnam War and soldiers and smokes a pipe. And it's just kind of like.
It'd been cooler because, like back in Nam, they were smoking weed out of like shotguns. You ever see those? Those like videos?
Mm-mm.
Where they would like, they would pull the action back to where the chamber's open and it would put like bud in the bottom where the shell would go.
Mm-hmm.
And they would light it through the loading port and then smoke. They would like put their mouth over the barrel and smoke weed out of their shotguns in Vietnam.
Fuck yeah.
So it'd been really cool if he was still doing that, like smoking weed out of a shotgun.
He's smoking a tobacco pipe with the like curved thing up that you kind of
Sherlock
Holmes so shit. That guy too.
Yeah,
he is very smart. He is very articulate.
When you hear him talk, it's the same thing,
right? And you're like, you should have a pipe in your mouth. Yeah, and he does.
I see.
Yeah, like just wait. I already said it. Had already said it.
Yep.
Pipe smoker or a pole smoker.
Right. So that's according to Michael, he said, and he stays out, smokes a cigar for quite a bit of time, right? Because he said he comes back inside, I don't know, around like 2. He made the 911 call. 2:40 he made the 911 call. So he must have been coming back into the house 2:30. So from 11... to 2:30, he's out by the pool, smoking his pipe.
I guess I've been
no cell phone.
I guess I've
right?
been there before.
He's not scrolling.
I guess I've done that.
He's literally just sitting, staring out into the fucking trees.
Yeah.
My God.
I've done that.
Blissful.
Really?
No,
yeah, men do that shit.
God. Bless.
That's why, like,
I'm
when
bored,
you know, when men get off work and they have a family, they just sit in their car for another 10 minutes before going inside because they need to decompress and be like, fuck. I gotta deal with all this shit.
Yeah.
That's probably what he was doing. He's like, I gotta go inside. And I mean, the kids weren't even there, but still.
But yeah.
Men just do that. We appreciate
okay.
the
was
long
right,
time.
He was writing the next book in his head, just staring
yeah,
out.
Maybe.
You said yeah. he was smoking cigars or just the pipe?
The pipe.
But he also had, they were drinking wine and shit, so maybe he had, maybe he still had half a bottle left, and he's like,
He had some wine.
Nice
they were celebrating, I guess he had just heard that one of his books
had been optioned. Oh, the show
detail
optioned. Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So... they were kind of celebrating, and she was like, I'm super tired, whatever. And he's like, I'm going to still fucking party by myself. So then he says he comes back in, and he sees Kathleen at the bottom of the stairs and calls 911 immediately. When the paramedics arrive at the scene, they are really taken aback by the amount of blood everywhere. So you would think... you fall, you know, someone's at the bottom of the stairs, there's a pool of blood, sure. Or if they've died from that, something on the wall a little bit. The whole bottom of the stairs, it's like this little windy staircase. And it's just the bottom kind of landing. Blood is literally all the way up the wall, all the way on the stairs. Puddle the blood under her, sprayed up on the wall. It's like, what the fuck?
She was headbanging. Had a good song playing.
Right?
Pump up the jam.
Pump up the jam. Now, when we get into what happened, every scenario is insane.
Yeah.
Every scenario doesn't make sense, no matter how you put it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I think that's why it's like, I don't know what the fuck happened, because it's so insane, I can't wrap my head around all these different things. So Peterson, when the investigators come, Peterson tells them that Kathleen had been drinking a lot and that she'd taken a Valium, which she does quite a bit. She was wearing little sandals. Maybe when she was walking up the stairs, she tripped.
Made a little oopsie.
Right. Very weird for someone to fall upstairs, right? But you can, but you just kind of trip and catch yourself,
normally you're,
right?
Because your body weight's
normally
going
you're
forward.
Falling, right. So normally if you fall downstairs, you're falling back, or you're walking down the stairs and falling forward, right? Yeah. So she was walking up the stairs and fell. which is also weird to think about.
Especially Michael, if you've lived in that house. Because, like, I never had a two-story house, but I have, like, friends growing up in a two-story house. I know the pacing, like, the height I need to bring my foot up just by visiting their house. Like, even in the pitch dark, I know, hey, this is like a 6-inch or a 7-inch step here, here, here. And the top step's a small step for some reason. Like, you just get a feel for your own house. But I was doing this at friend's house. So I was like, oh, I know how to navigate up this thing as a kid, you know.
So yeah, and her usually house, stairs.
Kind of weird how she would stumble on her own stairs.
And also, like, we've all kind of stumbled upstairs, right?
Yeah.
You're, like, walking.
I guess being drunk.
Whatever,
too, yeah,
one of these bars that we go up the stairs, or you kind of just, like, miss one. Whoops. Yeah.
But
you know?
Don't fly
and even
backwards
if you,
down
yeah,
the
you don't
fight.
Go, like, you know. Yeah. That's not even how the momentum would go if you trip, right? You'd be, like, hitting your head on this.
Yeah.
This stair in front of you.
Or even the wall next to you, you kind of like lean towards the
wall.
Lean
into that. Yeah,
brace
yeah.
Yourself.
Which is possible.
Were there handrails in this stairwell? I don't even know about that.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
There was at the, like, on this part of it, on like the stairs that go up, but on the bottom part where she was,
okay, yeah,
there wasn't, because it was just like a small landing,
yeah.
So you don't really need a rail to get up 3 steps. Well, she did, anyway.
Classic. That was
pretty funny. She needs one of those chairs that go up the side. So Michael had called his son before even the investigators came over. So paramedics are there. He calls his son to come over.
Okay.
And when the investigators actually get there, Michael's on his computer smoking a pipe, which is kind of like, what the fuck? Like, what are you doing? You're not wanting to, like, see what's going on.
Well, you're calling your coworkers. You're emailing them saying, hey, I can't come in tomorrow.
Hey, can't come in tomorrow.
Wife died.
Wife's dead. So,
oops.
What happened? I don't know. Investigators are here right now.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
Maybe that's, like, his way of being in shock, just trying to focus on something else.
Locked into MySpace, changes
his
song on his profile.
No, it could be. I mean, they weren't
He takes off his wife as his top 8 friends. And
they weren't like super appalled by that. It was just kind of like, they were like, hey, can you get off your computer? Like, this is...
There's something important going on here?
Well, it's a crime scene now, and that's going to be maybe part of evidence. So you have to like not touch anything, and you got to go, basically. And at that point, Michael was like... felt like he was a suspect,
right?
And stopped talking right there. Didn't do police interrogation. I say good for him.
Yep.
That's always what you should do, right? If you feel it all, lawyer up immediately. Stop talking and lawyer up, right? Unfortunately, even if you are innocent.
Yeah.
Sorry. So he did that. And I don't always fault people. You know, a lot of people think that's like, means that you're guilty. I think he's just a smart, rich dude. And he's like,
he kind of went to law school or at UNC?
Yes.
Or maybe not a degree, but he did practice it in some form.
Yes. Yes. So he knows.
He's up
they
there,
called.
Yeah.
He had someone to call immediately, right? Mm-hmm. So he stops talking, gets a lawyer. Initially, Michael and Kathleen's entire family was supporting him. Like, everyone was just like, what? No way. This is insane. So, like, Kathleen's family, Kathleen's daughter, her sisters, all of their kids were just like, there is no way that this would happen. There's no way that he would do this. Everyone in the community is like, he was the nicest guy. He was awesome, like, beloved. there's just no way. So they were not in any way suspicious.
I remember that part in the documentary. So like, I didn't, like I said, I wasn't fully invested. Like, I was kind of like watching it halfway, like sleeping. It was late, halfway drinking as fuck.
There's so many episodes of this documentary.
I do remember that
too.
Like, I think it was like even the adopted kids were like, no, he's the fucking sweetest guy ever. Like,
and
I'm pretty
they
sure
were
the
in
two
love.
Adopted ones that were like, dude, they're fucking solid. There's yeah. no way this would have happened.
And most of the time in these cases, like, someone's going to be like, well, they would fight sometimes yeah. or like they were stressed
I didn't
or
hear
whatever.
A mention of that.
Nothing. Yeah. It was just like they, and he's very dramatic too. So like in his interviews that he would do, he'd be like, I could hear her name whispered in my ear.
I heard
you know,
that. It was, yeah, it was in my heart.
Whispered in my heart.
You're like, what the fuck, dude?
Bro.
That's he's a writer.
Exactly.
Actually,
right.
Good point.
Exactly fucking, right. Very good point. He can tell a story, huh? He can tell a good story and he can be convincing. And he is. So even at this point, that's how convincing he is, like everybody. So, but when the coroners, the medical examiner, came back with their report,
bum, bum, bah,
they found, so this is what they found. They found 7 lacerations on the back of her head once they shaved it. And they were small. They kind of looked like pitchfork lacerations. So, like, if you just looked at it, it would be like 2 pieces going into one.
Yeah.
2 pieces going into one.
What the?
The same size everywhere. So they determined that she had been beaten and the manner of death was homicide.
Uh-oh.
Michael obviously was the only suspect, and at this point he's arrested. They moved very quickly. They charged him. He made bail, obviously. Rich,
yep.
white, whatevs.
Yep.
Knows
his was his lawyer a friend of his too? Do you know that? Or
at this point when he's bailing out,
uh-huh.
yes, and then he fucking got the highest power,
okay, cool.
best
okay,
in the
yeah,
business
yeah.
from there. But like just to get him through this
yeah,
process
already,
and get him
guys.
Out.
Yeah, yeah, he had the bullies.
He just needed someone right away, basically.
Yeah.
So at this point, again, they're moving quick, the biggest trial to ever hit Durham and the craziest story when I was like watching the documentary, how amazing would it have been to like be turning on the news and hearing like
yeah.
all the new weird shit that's coming out in this crazy case of this well-known, beloved Durham dude.
Yeah.
Military vet.
Homie.
Ran for mayor.
Writer.
Like everyone loved him.
He did run for mayor in 99,
yeah.
I think. Something
yeah.
like that. Yeah, he didn't make it, but he ran for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the DA, James Harden Jr., was convinced Michael committed this crime and was determined to find him guilty. I think that's important. He was just like, fuck this guy. He is going down. The case that they built against Big Mike.
Big Mike, huh?
No,
hell,
that has
yeah.
a different connotation.
He's
different
not a big
meaning
guy. He's
these days.
He's kind of like a
huh?
little.
Yeah, yeah.
He wasn't a.
He's got
wasn't
a hog.
A big feller.
He had a thick neck,
sure,
though.
No.
Like, he had a. From here up, he looks like jacked old dude, right? From
actually,
the neck
yeah, that
up.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. All right. So, according to the district attorney, the motive was on Michael's computer. They found over 2,500 male, gay, mostly soldier.
Fuck
pornography.
Yes. Fuck yes, dude. This
as
one
well
goes out to
as,
all the gay soldiers out there.
Yeah, dude.
I salute you.
Salute you.
Hang in there.
Salute
Hang
you.
In. Fuck tough. You know what I'm saying?
It's interesting that that was his, like, only camp. You know, that was his, like,
male
fucking
God
type.
Bless.
So it was all just, like, either they were dressing up,
dudes?
Even they were, whether they were dressing up military or they were or whatever, that was his fucking thing. Gay soldiers.
2,500 things of
yeah.
dudes in camo.
Pictures, videos.
And shit.
It's a lot, right? These were the days where you had to download it, right? You couldn't just fucking watch a little bit,
yeah.
clear the history, delete the cookies. You
I
know what
even,
I mean?
When it was download days, I had like maybe one or two
exactly
forms that I kept on my computer for like
what about
safety.
Pictures? So most of them are pictures.
Never pictures.
Never pictures.
No, what the fuck?
Dude, what are you, five? That's,
what a weird thing to
what are you,
get
10?
Off on is a picture.
A picture.
Yeah. Grow up.
Seriously.
The magazines are for.
Exactly.
Even still.
You know what I mean?
Ever, I've never been like, this magazine's awesome. Let's do it. I've never been like, oh, this
I was like that when I was a kid.
Because that was the only way you'd find.
We didn't have the internet yet.
There was something totally naughty about the whole thing. Finding the magazine, stealing it, hiding it, looking at it.
Yeah, I found my first Playboy when I was a kid, and it was like, holy fuck, I can't believe I have this.
Yeah.
It was scary.
Dude, my first, oh God, first naked thing I've ever seen as a kid was Shaq's dick.
So how'd you see that?
The internet. It was just Shaq's
dick. It's on the
dick.
Internet?
So looking back, it probably it probably wasn't Shaq's dick.
Hard to find just a dick on the internet.
Like,
I mean, like,
it probably wasn't
dick.
His, but like we were like probably 7th or 8th grade, and it's like we had. I don't know if we had internet on our phones or if it was like a laptop at the time, but we'd be like, when the boys come over, we'd be like, hey, you know, if like a new friend came over to the house, be like, look at this, hey, look at this naked chick, and it'd be like a big black dude's dick.
Nice.
And okay. And like
so
on,
you
on
were
the
doing
site,
that
it was
meme.
Saying it was saying Shaq's dick. Like we so oh, okay. Who, if it was his. Couldn't tell you. It wasn't
sure.
Like a full body. Oh, that's Shaq. But the website was like, who's Shaq's dick?
Got
that was
it.
The first like nude I've ever seen, I guess.
Wow.
Holy shit. Explains a lot.
Guy or girl, that's the first nude thing?
Yeah.
Damn, that's
gosh,
weird.
That can fuck you up,
that could,
huh?
Yeah.
If,
I mean,
that's your, if that's your imprint, right?
That's why I'm
we all
straight,
get
dude.
Imprinted. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, oh my God, what
is
that?
Yeah, yeah, scared straight.
That was... Yes. Very much so.
So, again, not horrible, but, you know, if you're saying you have an amazing marriage and then you're like...
2,500 dude.
Especially in Durham, especially in early 2000s. Yeah. So, as well, he also, in his desk, there was a printed email correspondence and pictures between Michael and this one escort. Named Brent Walgamott.
Love me.
Not
a
the name he used. Not the name he used on the site. That's his real name.
Yep.
Yeah.
I say love a Walgamott.
Right.
It sounds like some Harry Potter shit.
Right.
Yeah.
Rat lips and Walgamott.
Yeah.
That's the bad guy. The Walgamott.
So yeah. Brent was actually one of the star witnesses in the case.
Was he the blonde haired tight guy?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He was so funny, so good, very like charismatic as well.
Yeah.
The super homophobic lawyers are being like, so what would you perform for Mr. Peterson, right?
And he basically said anything they wanted.
Yeah. He's like, well.
Like, what do you mean by that? He goes,
how much time do you got, right?
He did say that, yes.
He's like, I would do whatever.
Yeah, dude. It was so funny because he was just like, totally open.
Yeah.
This is what I did. Don't give a shit.
And it almost made them look shittier because they were just like, ugh, so like disgusted by
it. Appalled by this
man.
And
he was just like, yeah, like that's what I do. And I make good money. And
like, hey, you want my honesty?
Whatever.
Literally, here is me being 100% honest about everything I did with him and with anyone else.
Yes.
And also, very charismatic man.
Yes.
Like, he was a good looking dude, like fucking. Like, yeah, he'd be a friend of mine type of thing. He's a cool guy. Yeah. And also openly, he even mentioned like he was openly in the, I think the 82nd Airborne.
Yeah.
Like
so he
was
like
a
actually,
paratrooper and escorting.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Get the money, dude.
And and like out at that time.
Right.
In North Carolina.
Yeah.
So he's like the badass of the trial, I think. They also say that Michael and Kathleen were actually in massive debt. They were living like they were fucking, you know, super rich, high society, living in a fucking mansion. But once they dug into the finances, don't know who took out the credit cards or the debt or whatever, but they were in massive debt. And Michael wanted to, this is according to prosecution, they're saying Michael wanted to get her life insurance that was huge. Like a good amount. And he wanted to, you know, make off with her money and get plowed by dudes. That's what they're saying. Not me. But that's what they're trying to...
Exact quote from the lawyer.
Yeah, from the lawyer. He's just like, Michael wants to just, like, get all this money and get plowed by fucking gay soldiers. Yeah, soldier boys.
Plowed by dudes.
So that was... They were kind of really leaning into that and really kind of leaning into hopefully the jury being just as homophobic and everyone just being so appalled. Like, if you're, you know, gay or bisexual, you have to murder your wife because you're disgusting, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Also, remember that close family friend in Germany, Ratlips.
Oh, shit.
Elizabeth Ratlip. So a witness actually said that they saw Michael running from her house, and he was with her, helping over there, whatever, the night before. They found her in the morning. And he once again was taking charge of, like, the scene when the paramedics, like, telling the, you know, paramedics, like, all of her different ailments and what could have happened. And she probably fell down this kind of giving the scenario without really knowing anything.
It's like
and
an arsonist who goes to the scene of the crime to watch the fire burn.
Watch the fire or help like, oh, them and yeah, be exactly. like, hey, you know what it probably was?
It wasn't me.
Right.
This.
And right.
Let me lead you to where I get the satisfaction of,
right.
You know, making you guys think it was someone else type of shit. And that's kind of what he was doing.
Right. I don't know.
So he might have killed those people in Germany too?
So what they're saying is like, this is not the first person that was last seen
presence.
With this guy yeah. that died at the bottom of a stairs. So okay. these are two women that he was the last one to see them alive, and they're dead in the same kind of way.
Yeah, the husband of the Ratcliffe clan, like he just like died, whatever the fuck.
Yeah, he was away from the house.
Like
he
yeah.
was service, yeah.
And it was the wife, Rachel, whatever her name was. I think it's Rachel, something like that.
Liz. Elizabeth.
She just like had like, that brain hemorrhage, and everyone's like, oh, yeah. Cool, brain hemorrhage. No
and she fell
deal.
Downstairs?
So. Also German, probably investigators, German thing. Like, whatever this American dude says happened,
yeah.
they're like, okay. And she did have all of those kind of problems.
Yeah.
But there was the witness that said they saw him running, and her family members that came were like, this is weird. Like, how she is and the blood and same kind of thing. They were just like, gosh, when you think someone falling down the stairs, you think like bottom of the stairs, pool of blood, maybe.
Yeah.
But not, I don't know.
Not
the other part of that is like head wounds bleed more than any other, right? So yeah. like even a small little cut on your head is going to fucking gush blood, whereas your arm maybe not so much or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's another thing to think about, but still very jarring. They also believe that they had an idea of the murder weapon, but they did not actually have the murder weapon. So they pulled out a blowpoke. Do you guys know what this is?
This is my favorite part of the whole case.
Yeah, they by the way, in the documentary, if I hear the word blowpoke more time.
It sounds gay.
Yeah. So it's basically like...
That's what he would have.
Yeah. It's like rich people or people that have fucking wood-burning fires in their house.
Yeah.
Pretty rare these days. But it's like this. It almost looks like a hook. It's a metal, long metal sliding thing.
Okay.
You can blow through it. Light metal. You can blow through it to add air to the fire
okay.
to get it going. And then you can use the hook to kind of
move the coals around.
Move
yeah.
the wood or coals around. I mean, people give these a blowpoke.
Yeah, that makes sense now.
I know, but I hate it. I hate the name.
Yeah.
Anyways, they got this idea because Kathleen's sister, at this point of the trial, is like, all right, fuck this. Like, I'm not on this guy's side anymore. Like, she saw the crime scene photos. She talked to the district attorney. They got her on their side. However, whatever tactics they used, which I don't think was great, but they told her enough things. Said enough things to her that got her on the side of the prosecution, which means she's like, I gave my whole family this blow poke, right?
Each family member of hers had a blow
had
poke,
this like special blow poke
three,
that
four,
she
five,
got.
However many it was.
It's
however
the family
many.
Blow poke.
She, this yeah. was like her big like gift that she would give people. Oh, did you guys get that another blow poke? Do you guys get another blow poke from fucking?
Yeah, I gotta bring we've all got a fucking blow poke.
Yeah.
Don't feel special. I got a blow poke.
Yeah, we all got, but we all got this nice blow poke that we love so much. Don't fucking brag that you got one. So anyway, she's now being like, "Look, I gave them it. The slashes look like they could be done by this gift that I gave her." This blow poke thing that would be right next to where she, you know, it'd be easy for Michael to just grab it, whatever. And it's super light. So she was like, maybe it's that. Although the blow poke in their house was missing.
But also the one they were talking about was wooden.
No, it was metal.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Because the one they brought to the jury was wooden.
No.
Like, in the trial, it was a wooden piece.
No, so remember they found... they found the blow poke that they were talking about.
Oh,
so
they found that.
They found it in the garage.
Okay.
They said covered in cobwebs and bugs.
Oh.
But the tip, the like hook part was missing.
Oh, okay.
So maybe, you know, wear and tear.
I thought it was like a wooden blow poke. So the guy was like, oh, it's hollow, it's light, it's all those things. I'm like,
yeah,
one
so
smack
hollow
to the head would break the fucking thing. What is seven lacerations? But if it was metal, that makes sense now.
Metal, but again, very light metal.
Yeah.
It's a super light instrument.
Yeah.
And it's hollow. So in order to beat somebody with it, again, every scenario in this story is weird. So like what they're saying is, hey, we have a blow poke that's kind of like the one that she had. We don't have the actual murder weapon, whatever. And they're through the whole trial, like demonstrating
yes,
this thing.
So funny.
But there was no like brain bleed. There was no like blunt force trauma. So yeah. In this scenario, let's go through that. So she's at the bottom of the stairs. They're fighting or whatever. He grabs the super light metal blow poke. Somehow she's staying still enough that he can just like take it and just like cut the back of the head without actually like breaking skull, bruises, nothing else. Literally just the scratches on her head. Enough for her to be like, and then lay and die at the bottom. Like, that's a crazy thing. If you're going to, like, beat someone to death, you have to fucking beat them to death, right? Yeah. Like, it needs to be...
Did she bleed from those? Like, she died from those lacerations?
That was the... It was the only place that she was bleeding from. So, again, there was no brain bleed. There was no, like, hit someone hard enough that, like, they've got a huge blunt force trauma. It was literally bleeding out from those lacerations on the back of the head, which is crazy too.
Yeah.
In this small area.
And that lasts a long time too.
To bleed out. Yeah. They said she would have to have been laying there for about 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Bleeding out in order to die from those wounds. Right. So that's a weird scenario. Although with the jury and they have the person and the way that the lacerations look almost like that hook and the pitchfork, so they're like, okay. Then they had the kicker, which is a blood spatter expert, Dwayne Devers, who just like did all these weird experiments that don't even make sense. Like, he got like a head and like a fake like mannequin head and put like pig's blood all over the hair and then just started like hitting it on the stairs, you know, like in trials, they'll be like, oh, yeah, we did this demonstration of the blood spatter. And it's just like, what do you even do? What are you even doing? Right? Like, it would be like a body and you would like hit it with the blow poke thing.
Yeah.
Not like all these weird different experiments. But anyways, none of them made sense. But he was pretty compelling and said that, you know, the blood pattern, the blood spatter pattern. The only way that it could have been made is by being beaten, not by falling.
Yeah.
Right? So this is what he is saying.
And we believe him, or we don't believe him.
Well, I mean, he's like, a scientist.
I,
this is in the jury's eyes.
Know.
Right. In the jury's eyes, they can say like, oh, this is an expert. They bring someone up. And if they sound, you know, smart enough, if they're using the right words, if they're using the demonstrations, you would be like, okay, like he knows. What do I don't know. Right. Mm. So you're like, okay. On the defense's side, they're saying there's no physical evidence that Mike directly did the crime. No blood on him or splatters on him or whatever. Michael and Kathleen had a very happy marriage. That's what they were saying. They were saying Kathleen knew that he was bisexual. She knew about all this stuff and she was fine with it.
Yeah.
Hard to believe
on
that
one.
Yeah,
we don't know that part. Yeah.
We don't know that one, but... That'd be hard to believe, huh?
Yeah.
But to be okay with that?
Well, she's just like, oh, it's totally cool.
If you're married to someone that, like, used to fuck the opposite sex but now is in love with you, that wouldn't bother me.
But he's not used to. He's,
like
trying to meet up. He was actively doing it.
Oh, I didn't know he was actively.
Yeah, he was.
So he's fucking other dudes?
She didn't know beforehand that he was, like, bi.
Yeah.
Like, she married him thinking he was, like, straight. It's monogamous. All that kind of shit.
Yeah.
And then...
He was cheating on her?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
with
dudes.
I thought he was just jerking off to photos of dudes.
No, he had that. I mean, and then they found the correspondence, which was the witness that they brought up.
Okay.
Was the escort that he was corresponding with, was going to meet up with, whatever. The defense also said, like, he's such a good guy. He adopted these two kids. Why would he, like...
Wait,
kill?
Escort?
What's the motive? Huh?
Escort's... That's cheating. If you pay for it?
I don't think it is, actually, Joel. You're
honest. Yeah, no, you're right.
It's like a massage, right?
Yeah, I think clip this for your wife,
cool,
for sure.
Yeah, I'm not clipping any more things for my wife after the last one.
You got in a fight or what? What?
I'm going to clip this for his wife.
Yeah. He can clip it. I'm going to clip it for his wife.
No.
Start corresponding with his wife.
Too late, dude.
Too late.
Okay.
You already said
you
were going to
corresponding
murder
with your wife,
you
dude.
You want to play that game?
You said
with
you were going to murder her family.
Yeah, that's the one I clipped
2 weeks ago. And now we're going to clip this saying, if I pay for it, it's not cheating.
Yeah.
So.
And he thought it was going to be kind of like fun and flirty. And she was like,
she'll be cool with it.
She's like, it's not funny.
It's not funny.
Yeah.
And this won't be either, Joel.
Yeah,
so
no, it won't.
Have fun being in the dungeon.
If you don't know it's wrong, it's not wrong.
That's true.
If you know it's wrong, and you still do it.
Convince
Joel uses that quite a bit. That
like, listen, I didn't know having sex with these chicks was wrong.
If I don't know,
if you pay for it,
so it wasn't wrong. She'll be like, you know what, Joel?
I never paid for sex. Not that I wouldn't, just never have.
Didn't somebody pay?
Anyway,
all right. So, anyways, they were saying he's such a good dude. He adopted these kids. What is he going to kill the mom and then like take on two young children? Like, come on. Henry Lee, which is actually a pretty famous slash controversial blood spatter analysis. He testified that the blood spatter was consistent with a fall. And he's a real funny Chinaman, old Chinaman. And
ooh, that
his demonstration was super weird. So in front of the courtroom, he like puts up a white like poster board type thing on an easel, right?
Yeah.
He puts ketchup in his mouth and like spits it onto the paper. All rook, right? Rook.
Did he have an accent?
Oh yeah, 100. It was thick.
Did he really?
As fuck,
yeah.
Hell yeah.
And so it like gets on the lawyer or whatever, and it's like, but it did go pretty. I mean, it was. Looked a lot like what was on the wall
in
the stairway. So people are kind of like, that was weird, but okay. So what he's saying is that she could have fallen and is like choking and spitting up blood. So again, we went through the blow poke of like him just scraping the thing across the head.
Ever so gently.
Ever so gently, and making sure that she's staying still and not moving so that he could just gash her skin only. Not get to the skull, not get anything like that, but enough where she's going to just bleed out right there. That's a crazy scenario. The scenario of her falling walking up the stairs and just like falling back into the wall and then falling forward into another stair and then coughing blood into the corner and then rolling down again and trying to get up and slipping, which is what they're saying. They're saying that she kept trying to get up and was slipping in her blood and kept like falling everywhere.
And that's why there's like a weird
in this tiny
and, like a handprint on the wall. Yeah. It was because she was like, ooh.
In this tiny space of like three steps, a big landing, and then the stairs up. And all of this was supposedly supposed to happen on that landing. So she walked up three steps, tried to walk up one, and just like spun all around in that bottom like three stairs and like hit and back and forth and right. That's also crazy. So both things, her falling, him beating her. What?
If she did fall, like if you hit your head and you always try to stand up and you will fall again. It's like you see it in UFC all the time. If you get dizzy.
But to have seven gashes, right? No. How many times did she like ping pong back and forth, try and stand up and hit the head and the wall and the thing? Like
it's seven times apparently.
Again, if you're at the top of the stairs, I'm in, right? Like you fall down one, you try and get up, you keep falling down. Okay, fine. But if you're just in one small space hitting your head and falling all over the place.
That doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
That was my favorite part of the documentary was like the investigators were all in a room. And one dude's like, well, unless she fell down like and hit her head on each and every step like a pogo stick.
Yeah.
That's not how someone falls. Like he literally used pogo stick as a reference.
Holy
of like
shit.
How
of her
like how the fuck could you have seven lacerations going down a flight of stairs?
Maybe she
like,
fell.
She was a pogo stick. Everyone's laughing and joking. And I'm
yeah.
Like, that was weird.
Maybe yeah, they're all like good old boys, right? Like yeah. Durham. They're all, you know, right? And then these northern lawyers trying to come in here and tell you about
falling.
Yeah, tell you about falling to 20 times.
Oh, and then the jury, they interview the jury and they're like, man, that Chinese guy might have been right, but I couldn't understand a word he said. Dude, there were so many of them that were like, I couldn't tell you what he was saying.
And also, you
I don't know what it was.
And also, he's fucking gay. So, you know, I say murder.
Yeah.
Right?
It was
you're
wild.
Willing,
shit.
If you're willing to do that
it was
with
wild.
A dude.
If you'll suck a D.
No telling what you'll do. Was kind of the sentiment. Not joking.
I think she fell down the stairs. And then he saw the opportunity, got that thing, and scraped her while she was knocked out.
Just kind of took
her
the
up,
things and slowly
picked her
scraped.
Up, took her back up the stairs and then re-threw her down the stairs.
Yeah.
Well, maybe.
until she had seven lacerations. We had to do it seven times.
Well, no, I think she fell once and knocked out. And then he came in and was like, oh, shit, she's knocked out. I'm gonna cut open her head so she bleeds to death. Like
I didn't think about
capitalized
that.
Capitalized on an opportunity.
Sense, but...
No, it I does. Guess. Like
now, by the way, this is the only scenario that makes sense.
Yeah.
So he walks in because he hears it. He hears her fall. He goes in. She's knocked out. He's like,
Yeah, but why would she scrape?
He can't hear.
Why would he scrape?
She's
going to
wake
head.
Up. He's like, oh, I could. If I make her bleed out right now, she'll die and I can get all that money. And it'll look like she fell. So she's knocked out. He grabs the thing, cuts the back of her head seven times to make her bleed out, thinking that he does it nice and slow to hide it in her hair. They won't find out.
And that's why it was like 3 hours later.
Yeah.
That's why he hung up the phone.
That's what, when he called, he was like, oh, shit.
I see you, Joel. All right.
That's my theory.
And I will say with the 911 call, if we go through it, it's the still, him saying that she's still breathing.
Hangs up, does the lacerations.
Or whatever he does, right?
Yeah.
Because... saying that she's still breathing is, I think, in his way trying to, if you think he did it, it would be his way of making sure time of death is a lot later than it really was, which was hours earlier probably, right? If you think he did it.
If he did it.
Yeah. If he did it. So also the defense in this big like show, like you're saying, finds the blow poke and like, brings it out like this big show.
Out of the
By
plastic.
By the way, out of the
so
plastic,
funny.
He keeps
saying,
what does that look like to you, like to the investigator?
Yeah.
What does this look like to you? Does it look like a blow poke? Would you say this is probably a blow? The guy's like,
oh,
yes.
God.
The guy's like, yeah,
Yeah, it looks like a blow poke.
But, like I said, the blow poke that they found in the garage, the tip, that, like, the hook tip is broken off. But it is very thin metal, so you go, like, okay, fuck, if he kept it for a long time, that thing could have fallen off, broken off. Maybe that's why it was in the garage.
Yeah,
this thing broke.
So it's in
you
the
put
garage,
it in the garage,
it's
right?
It's a family heirloom.
Right. I guess we got to keep
the fucking.
It's her favorite
thing, so I got to keep it.
Right.
All four kids have this fucking blow poke.
So he'd actually found, like I said, the blow poke in the garage.
I hate that word now too. I'm with you.
Blow poke, right?
Yeah.
It's not going to stop, Joel.
It's too much, and the way that they use it. And how they're serious every time they say it. They say it constantly.
Well, I keep thinking of the both lawyers were like the defense and the offense. I don't know what the fuck they're called.
Offense, right? Defense,
prosecution.
Prosecutor and defense. But they're like, do you really think Haya could do 7 lacerations? And the other guy was like, he was whacking the shit out of her.
Yeah.
But the one dude's just like, do you really think this thing would kill somebody? He's like very like just lazily swiping this blow poke.
Yeah, but that's in order to make the wounds that he
without
made.
Without skull fracture
and
shit.
That's how you would have to do it. Is like, I guess the only way Joel's saying is like, she's already laying down. She's already unconscious. That's the only way that you can kind of just, and by that point, use a knife.
And by the way, what the fuck?
What the fuck?
And like, oh, damn, my wife is knocked out. Blow poke.
He probably hated. He probably
let me go
hated
get a blow
that
poke
thing because it was her favorite thing. He
and
hated
the sister that he didn't
fucking,
like to gave it to them.
Hated that thing. He was like, I'm killing her with this fucking blow poke.
This is like, and he is like so dramatic, right? So he's like, this is whispering in my heart that it's poetic justice, you know? And he's just like wanting to make some big dramatic thing, possibly. I don't know. But after 54 days of testimony, and let's be clear. In small town North Carolina in Durham, the investigation was very bungled. The trial is very bungled. His lawyers are very good, but they're dealing with mistakes. So many mistakes made in everybody's, profession. So it's like from investigators to paramedics to whatever, like everyone fucked up somehow. So, you know, it wasn't like a real clean, you don't really know because of all the mistakes. But after 54 days of testimony and 4 days of a deliberation, the jury found Michael Peterson guilty of first-degree murder.
Damn.
And in North Carolina, there's no like, you go home and then you go to, or you go back to jail and then you get sentenced. In North Carolina, it's mandatory. Straight life without parole. So basically, he just stands up at that point as soon as they read, handcuffs, he's done. He
so that's where I
serving.
Didn't get into the duck. I had no idea what the jury deemed guilty or not guilty. I have no idea what happened from this point on.
So guilty.
Damn.
Obviously, this is not, that's not the end of the story, right? Rich, white dude, bungled everything, trial, lots of mistakes made. Pretty easy, should be pretty easy to get an appeal, right?
Okay.
Michael filed many appeals over the course of 8 years, so he's in jail for 8 years.
Damn.
Finally, a lawyer friend of his, like ex, like a former neighbor, and he was a lawyer at the time, but friendly and knew him, starts looking over the autopsy report and found that on page 4, all the pitchfork type lacerations are all the same length, the exact same length, all of them. So, like, how would you, by the way, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Beating, one's going to be longer, one's going to be shorter, one's going to be just a poke, whatever. They were all the exact same length.
Weird.
Also, in Kathleen, there was hair found in Kathleen's hands, which is basically, like, if someone's beating you, you're like this or whatever. So, you've got a couple hairs in your fingers.
Oof.
So they actually found microscopic feathers on a couple of the hairs and in one of the lacerations. Very, very small, microscopic. You couldn't see it hanging out or anything. But why are feathers in her hair and maybe in a laceration? So from this, his lawyer friend comes up with an owl theory. Which in North Carolina, a lot of people were testifying or saying, reporting that there were owl attacks in the neighborhood and around
what
there.
What the fuck?
Shit, what?
Barrel, this is literally Harry Potter fucking Hedwig.
Lips and Quaggleblade.
Hedwig's barred, over here fucking carpet bombing people.
Yeah, they're called barred apples? Barred owls? But anyways, it's a certain type of owl found in North Carolina that are really big, super sharp talons.
Oh, shit.
And sometimes attack people, whether they know what they're doing or not.
She leaves the pool having a great time, gets attacked by an owl, is like, I'm going to go to bed, walks up the stairs, falls down because she made it up three flights because the blood
barred
from the
owls. Yeah. Holy so what they're what this guy's saying, barred? What this guy's barred. Saying, these barred owls. So they're big, a little bit aggressive. You can't hear anything when they come up on you. You literally are. They usually attack.
Still,
they usually land on the back of people's heads because they're perching, whatever. So. That would, if you now look, which Joel, you'll show like the back of the head lacerations. They're just drawings. It's not like the actual back. Well, they have that too. But
those are fucked
it
up.
It looks like.
That's just. Those talons, pictures, I'm like, oh, god damn.
Yeah. And they're just trying to basically, if they're trying, you know, if they go to perch on a tree, they just latch onto it, right?
Fuck.
And they may like realize that you're not a tree or you start moving or whatever and it freaks out. But so what they're saying is that Kathleen's drunk by the pool, right? Valiumed up with her husband, walks back to the house. It's, like I said, a really large property. They did tests where he couldn't hear her screaming if it happened right before the house. So the house and the pool are actually really far away.
Okay.
And you have to go through whatever.
I'm starting to believe this, actually.
There is a journey. There's
this
like, you got to go
still
down some stairs, down a little pathway.
Yeah.
And like the pool is down and away from the house itself.
This is still like very highly debated on Reddit right now. There's people probably fighting about this owl theory right now.
Yeah.
But if you think about, so anyways, they're saying that the owl attacks, she freaks out, it's like, you know, kind of trying to grab at something, flies away, she's freaking out, so she goes inside being like, holy shit, and like tries to get upstairs, and there's so much blood that
she passes
slips
out. Oh, slips
in her blood, she's at the thing and like maybe falls back and hits the wall, whatever it may be. It makes sense for her to be super disoriented and not understand why there's like so much
even
blood
just
coming.
Seeing the blood will make some people pass out.
Seeing the blood, or like she's losing a lot of blood, she doesn't know what happened. It's like probably a really freaky fucking thing. Valiumed up, drunk, whatever. She's just like, holy shit. She's got these little flimsy sandals. They probably caught on something. Again, the theory of like bobbing back and forth all over the place, I don't know.
And the alcohol makes your blood thinner, so you're gonna bleed more, technically
bleed
so,
more and maybe, I mean, I've seen really small head wounds like gush blood.
They go gnarly.
Yeah,
that's all the capillaries or something like that that's in there.
So
in your head.
That's the theory there.
I'm
they
all in
have
on the fucking owl.
I know
theory. I love it.
I am too, but like
that's kind of
not
fucking cool.
But
an
like
owl fucking does this shit,
right?
I want an owl.
Now listen, then they talk to people that have gotten attacked by owls and they're like, they're not, it's not that forceful, although listen, we don't know what's going on. So by the time, so let's say that happens, she passes out, she's on the bottom of the stairs. Michael's still outside
didn't hear
for hours. He doesn't hear anything. She's bleeding out. That gives plenty of time for when he comes back in. She's already been bleeding there for over 2 hours.
Yeah.
And he's just like, what the fuck? And he makes the 911 call. So.
Holy shit.
With this new evidence, which is kind of all you need to get an appeal, either evidence, new evidence that's come to light, or somebody that fucked up in the first trial. These are the two things that are going to get you an appeal. So this new owl theory, along with Dwayne Devers, that blood spatter fucking cuck.
Yeah, that weirdo.
That weirdo that was just like, rah, 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 I did an experiment about blood splatter. It was
got
just
a
like,
fucking
no,
random head with
no
some random
rhyme
hair.
Or reason. Yeah. He's just split almost like a Jackson Pollock. Pollock. He's just like, yep. Oh, yeah, see, you could just kind of like spray blood everywhere. And you're like, what are you doing? What are you saying happened? Anyways, he was a big fat liar. He was indicted for over 100 other cases that he either didn't report, over another like 100 cases that
just
he lied. Yeah,
big fat
he
phony.
Lied about, or he just didn't report evidence. So if he found that in some of the cases, if he found that something wasn't blood, he would be like, yeah, it's blood. And then the guy's in jail for, you know, in prison for 20 years. So a lot of cases where he did that. So then his testimony's gone. And that was like the biggest
that
thing that they had.
In that trial. Yeah.
Because a couple of the jurors were like, if the blood spatter guy didn't like completely convince us, we don't know what we would have thought. Right. And so that's grounds for a new trial. So he's ultimately granted a new trial. But because the state is kind of like, we don't know what we're going to have against you at this point without blood spatter, the evidence was mishandled. Since the first trial, it had been all mishandled and thrown in like boxes that were open and just like Durham shit. Sorry, Durham, North Carolina shit.
Never had a case this big in our lives.
Yeah, they're like, I mean, fucking gay.
We don't need this stuff.
We don't need
Germany.
Gay,
possibly
fucking thinking he's all smart, writing stuff.
Stolen valor?
Stolen valor? He can't get us.
Smart gay Nazi.
Smart gay Nazi. He's not going to come into this town and try and kill all our wives. So basically, they were just like, we don't know what we're going to have. Like, we suck here. What do you want to do? And so he ends up entering an Alford plea. I don't know if you guys know what that is, but if the state doesn't feel like they have enough, or you feel like in the appeal you're going to be convicted anyways, you can enter a plea, an Alford plea, which is basically saying, I'm not guilty. Like, I didn't do it, but I'm still going to get all of the punishment as if I did. And so he had time served, and he, at this point, is still a convicted felon, and in the eyes of everyone, is saying that he's guilty, but he didn't have to say out loud, whoa, I did it. He just kind of was like, okay. Like, basically just like, do what you're gonna do.
Interesting.
So to the family and to everyone, it's like he said he was guilty, but Alford plea, I don't know where that, I mean, it originated from somebody. Some kind of precedent was set, right, with Alford something. Where, you know, look, you can get appeals, you can be innocent and still fucking be found guilty again in your second trial, right? So it's basically just saying, like, I don't want to go through this. You don't want to go through it, I don't want to go through it, fine. So I guess we kind of talked about what you guys think, but you think you like the owl?
I'm all in on the owl.
And I like the fucking owl, too, only because, like we said, every other scenario doesn't make sense. If you picture someone rolling around in one stair dying, three stairs,
seven head lacerations,
or someone being fucking scraped, tiny scraped to death with like little scrapes on the back of your head until you die, I don't know.
Yeah, so I also saw something that like they did some research and they're like, since 1960 whatever, there's been 251, like, or some similar to that number, like blunt force trauma murders in North Carolina alone.
Yeah.
And they all had like brain hemorrhages or skull fractures. And this was the only one where someone died from a head trauma that wasn't like brain lacerations, hemorrhages,
brain
skull
bleeding,
fractures.
Damage to the, there was no damage to the skull or the brain or anything.
There,
was
like,
there wasn't even
hundreds
bruises.
Of cases that, and this one didn't make a fucking sense, any sense.
The trial too, that like they're good. The defense lawyer, they were very good, but they handed this medical examiner, this lady that said like it was homicide or blunt force, whatever. He handed her all 250 cases and made her go through.
There was like seven fucking binders. And he's like, can you just go through these
and
tell
me like
tell me
what in each one of these cases, what the.
And she kind
of
like flips through it and he's like, oh, here's three more binders. Here's two more binders. Here's the last binder of all 250-something cases. And she's like, she's kind of like, all right, I know what you're doing here. I can't
prove
it.
And that's dramatic too, right? But look.
If you're a juror, like in the jury, like, oh yeah. But,
and they know what game they have to play.
I think it's a hate crime. Here's my theory now. Okay. I think that the town was like, fuck that gay guy. And they have an attack owl, and they attack the family.
Fuck.
With the owl to get away with
almost
it.
Almost like a like falconry.
Yeah.
Like falconry.
That
yeah.
makes
like
sense.
RFK Jr. was out there fucking
training
Durham,
the
Durham,
owl
North Carolina
to swoop
is known
down
for their owl curry. So
owl curry?
Alconry.
Oh, owlconry.
Alconry.
I wanted an
yellow
owl.
Curry?
I wanted an owl back in the day, and I was like, where do I get the best owl to attack?
North Carolina. Yep. By the way, all the videos they were showing, because, you know, they have to use stock footage of the owls in the documentary or whatever the thing I saw. Scary as shit.
Yeah.
Like, they look like they want to murder somebody all
the
time.
That's
the
part we're not talking about. If it was an owl, that's a murderer that's still at large. That got away with murder.
Yeah. That's what the lawyer said. He goes, he said, the lawyer that found the feathers in the whole fucking thing was like, death by owl is not the same. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't be in jail for homicide if
that's fucking
an owl
crazy.
Committed the murder. So yeah, I like that one, but you know, he still lives in Durham. Still in like a condo, right?
The owl?
Yeah.
The owl's still at large.
Dude, that owl.
Yeah, by the way, never found the owl.
Owl has 10,000 square feet, a cool ass pool.
Yeah, it's living
five
in
five kids.
Living in the tree above him.
I will say, like, when you're going through the case or when you're watching like all fucking 8-9 episodes of the documentary, it's like nothing is making sense until the fucking dude is talking about the owl. And then you go,
fuck.
Yes, dude. That's the only thing that my mind can wrap around. Like, all right. So
talent.
Then she's just like,
and when
I love
when
a, I love
this,
a talent.
They come together like a pitchfork to a point.
One time.
Yep.
And then she moves and he's like, one more time here.
Takes off, flies away clean.
Flies away clean.
Gets away with it. And then there's some dude that goes like this, and the owl lands on his arm, and he's like, disappears into the night.
By the way, though, if there wasn't another lady dead at the bottom of the stairs, it would be no question, right?
Yeah.
But as you probably know now from doing the show as long, you don't, like detectives, investigators, people in general, We don't love two dead wives, right?
No, never.
And we don't love two dead wives that die in the same, or dead people that die in the same exact manner. Don't love that.
No one likes
they
that.
They don't believe lightning strikes twice. They just don't believe it. So either he's the most unlucky motherfucker ever, which is never the case.
Yeah.
Or he did it and he's very convincing. And his family's behind him, and he's rich, and he's older, and he's white, and he's intelligent, and he can spin a good story. And I said he's either the best to ever do it or guilty.
Yeah.
Or innocent.
Yeah.
One of the two. Like, he either really didn't do it or he's the best. He's
what
like the Jim Jones of wife murder.
What if we found an old photo? Because he was in Vietnam, right?
Yeah.
What if we find an old Vietnam photo of him in his, you know, little soldier outfit, and he has an owl
just on the arm?
Yeah. Holy shit!
Oh,
so
dude, he fucking
so he
trained
did, yeah,
the
he
owl.
Did do it.
He's
now
an alconer.
Now, look, he did benefit. He got in the way that he paid his lawyers was from her partial life insurance payout.
Damn.
So he did benefit. Still, he was in debt. He was fucking trying to hook up with, huh?
When's he getting out?
He got out.
He's just chilling.
He's out.
Yeah, he's chilling.
So he entered, like I said, he entered the Alford plea.
Right.
And that was, I think, so he spent, I think he went in 2003 and spent eight years.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's
out there sucking D right now. Good for him.
Military D.
I hope.
He's sucking military D and living his
life. If he's innocent,
I'm glad he's out.
If he did it, he did his time.
And by the way, even if, let's say he did do it.
He did his time.
Living in Durham, same area, people that knew the case see him at the post office. That's a fucking bold move too, right? Is that an innocent man's move?
Staying around?
Is that an innocent man's move where he's just like, I'm not fucking, I'm not leaving. I didn't do anything, so I'm staying. Or is it the move of like a murderer that's like,
I need to stay.
I can't run away.
Or he's like, I did it. No one can fuck with me now.
No one can fuck with me. He can't be tried again. It's not like, oh, he's waiting for another trial. It's done.
And I wouldn't be scared of a guy with a fucking poke hole. What's blow poke? I wouldn't be scared of a guy with a
blow poke.
Yeah.
What about a guy with a fucking owl, though?
Killer owl. That's terrifying.
Yeah.
You know what I hope? I hope, honestly, he's in his condo in Durham. He's calling up fucking male escorts.
Having fun.
And he's fucking prolapsing all over the place, dude.
Yeah!
That's my wish for him. Because, gosh, to be closeted, it makes you fucking kill your wives and friends, doesn't it?
Goddamn right it does.
A closeted soldier.
I can't believe all my friends are still alive.
In Durham, 2001.
That's a tough life.
Oh, by the way, one more thing. Sorry. Oh,
okay.
I might have to do prolapse again. But remember when I said the things were printed out? The emails and the pictures are printed out, the correspondence. Why would he print those out? Or did Kathleen print them out she found the things in the email.
Yeah, so she printed them out.
She prints them out to show him.
Yeah.
He saw that and goes, fuck, she's got to go. Let me get my fucking owl.
Squeeps.
Let me get my falconry. I think it's alconry.
Because falconry, alconry.
Gosh, it rolls off the tongue, huh?
Right?
Anyways, prolapse.
Just like.
Yeah. Prolapse.
Martha and Margaret. Sisters before misters. Yes. Sisters before misters. Yes.
Sisters before misters. Yes.
You are the only thing I ever think about. Sometimes I wish I had you completely figured out. Watching every little step you take, like a fawn in the field lost without its mother. Standing on the edge, too many secrets, they start to smother you. But you know I understand. You're doing the best you can. Friends won't call, and you're wild like a ball about to bust the zipper. They think that you got it all, but you're sad 'cause they don't see the real you. Ha. however you wanna be. Everything's alright with me. You don't have to apologize for a damn thing. It's okay if you let your hand shake as it brushes across my face. There's a change in your life, but you know it's gonna be okay. Yeah, life is not just black and white. I think you're beautiful. Judge you, 'cause you know I never would. How can this be so wrong when everything feels so good? Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.